We have 500 limited edition Here I Stand t-shirts available for new members of the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Find out more about our monthly or annual giving program at issuesetc.org. Click the picture of these limited edition long sleeve shirts. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club. There's no doubt about it, at least according to the stories you're reading in the news this morning, the University and College campus is a place where all sorts of ideas are being tossed around, some of them being tolerated, some of them not. One of the things that's happening, kind of in the background, is a decline in the participation in religious groups. At least according to Pew Research, the decline in these religious groups and the participation is pretty remarkable, up to a third in the last couple years of big groups that used to attract large groups of college students on campuses for colleges and universities. Why is this happening? And part of the story, of course, is the rise of the religiously unaffiliated, the none of the aboves. Who are these young people as well? Joining us to talk about a decline in participation in religious groups on campus, Pastor Marcus Zill. He's director of LCMS Campus Ministry and LCMSU. Marcus, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hey, great to be with you as always, Todd.
I think a big part of the story, at least as it's being reported, is the increase in the religiously unaffiliated among college-age kids. And it's been a pretty remarkable percentage increase, if not numerical increase. Have you met the religiously unaffiliated? If so, who are they? What do they believe?
Well, as you know, and as you've probably reported on your program many times, I mean, the idea that we're still a you know, everyone is spiritual, but very few people want to be tied down to any single denomination. I mean, denominational loyalty is becoming, in many ways, a thing of the past. Our children today that are on our college campuses are children of parents from the 60s. And, you know, we're kind of seeing the results of that. Just this last year, I think it was a Gallup poll. I know you're referencing the Pew poll here, but a Gallup poll pointed out that 30 years ago, something like 8% of all college incoming freshmen identified themselves as nuns. And this year, it was nearly 28%. So in 25, 30 years, in one generation, that's tripled. And so, yeah, this is becoming, in many ways, very, very common. And just as we're seeing a kind of a decline in terms of church membership in our traditional denominations, including our own in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, it's not a huge surprise to see that it's having an impact in terms of traditional campus ministry or college student affiliation on campus. Many of our young people have no problems not looking for our LCMS students, looking for an LCMS campus ministry when anyone will do, especially one that kind of fits their felt needs.
So have you yourself, you've been involved hands-on in campus ministry for about 20 years, have you seen this decline in the participation, the interest in religious groups?
Well, it's interesting. I think it's a decline in terms of the traditional campus ministry clubs and student organizations that we see. I don't see a lack of interest in things that are related to the bigger questions of life. And I think there's an opportunity for us here that while maybe denominational affiliation and whatnot isn't as strong as it used to be, what you have is a greater group of seekers, for lack of a better term, who are looking for the bigger questions in life. Does God exist? Things of that nature draw huge crowds on a college campus. And so it's not that there's not an interest. It's not that there's not levels of inquiry among our college age people. It's just, I think it's different and it's become much, much more basic. And I think we can see that in terms of the interest that's being generated these days, in terms of, apologetics tasks on campus as opposed to maybe traditional evangelism.
Give us kind of paint a picture for us of kind of the typical, not so much the Lutheran emphasis here, but kind of the typical campus crusade kind of group. What was it doing on campus in its heyday? What was it providing these students? What was its goal?
Well, I mean, the stated goal of most of these groups like CRU and InterVarsity and whatnot is to really evangelize on campus. They spend all of their effort on campus, not worrying about buildings and churches. And, you know, they encourage people to go to churches of their choice. And in many ways, what's happened is that they've been on campus in bigger numbers. Some of them, some big college campuses have 3, 4, 5 staff members, where we're struggling along just trying to get a local congregation to get engaged. And so they are spending their time on campus. They're engaging people directly, not worried about buildings, but worried about people. And in many ways, there's a lot that we can learn from that, in the sense that, as I'm always telling people, we have to be on campus. We have to be there in bigger and bolder numbers and actually engaging these nuns who have these questions. And obviously, it's a lot easier to draw someone that doesn't have kind of any, you know, kind of religious affiliation to a Bible class or to something on campus than it is to draw them out to one of those typical churches. And so in many ways, but they're suffering too. I mean, everybody's suffering in terms of their numbers in this regard on campus. But the bottom line is that the field is ripe on campus. It's just that we have to get a little bit more edgy in our willingness to engage the culture and the impact that it's having on our young people where they're at.
What's the atmosphere on the typical university campus, larger university campus, when it comes to the kid, the incoming freshman shows up, and let's say he's kind of had some religious affiliation before, he went to church on a semi-regular basis with his parents. What does he face there? How would you describe it to him?
Well, I would say the biggest thing is that he or she is faced with the idea that college is designed not to be a transition point for you from your home life to responsible adulthood, but your time to explore, try new things. And in many ways, there's a blatant attempt on the part of much in the secular progressive academic world to really kind of break you down in every aspect of your life and then rebuild you and refashion you in kind of a secular progressive model. And so and many of our freshmen, our young 18, 19-year-olds are not, they're not really equipped to be able to handle this, because it's while it used to be a little softer in terms of the impact, I think it's getting much more full-throated. And, you know, one of the interesting things that we're seeing on campus these days is the rise of activism. And we see that when we think about what's going on at the University of Missouri right now, at Yale University, the getting rid of the flag, the state flag at the University of Mississippi because it was offending people. Young people are interested in activism. And I think that that's true in terms of our own young, more conservative Christian young people. The Students for Life organizations have huge numbers on many of our college campuses. And so we have a much more activist-minded young person going to college today, and everything's kind of revolving around the desire to emote. And while that's, you know, certainly a little scary when we think about the secular progressive agenda, I think that there's a lot of places for us to kind of work, maybe even with other Christians on campus and groups like Students for Life, in terms of networking on various causes, not because we want that to replace the church's life and the life of our young people, but because we have a lot to offer in that regard too. People are afraid to think anymore. And college campuses aren't a place that encourages thinking, but emoting. And so I think we have a unique place as Christians to see how you can do both, and you can dare to think in both kingdoms, as it were.
You mentioned just a moment ago the University of Missouri. Give us your thoughts, if you would, on the resignation of the University of Missouri System President Tim Wolf over allegations of race issues. He was essentially forced to resign. What are your thoughts?
Well, of course, a lot's going to come out in the days to come, and it's still pretty fresh. But I'm actually rather rather nervous about this because of the fear. His resignation wasn't. It doesn't appear that he actually did anything wrong. Maybe he didn't act quickly enough. One of the profs from the University of Missouri was citing, you know, the Michael Brown situation in Ferguson. The student association group was citing that, and I know that there's, you know, young people do stupid things when they're young sometimes, and as much as we have a lot of wonderful college students, I'm sure there are those that can do some really hurtful things too. This happens at all levels of school and all levels of life. But But in terms of them making demands that he should resign, then he has to acknowledge that he has a white male privilege. And the list of demands is just really, really remarkable. And to think that that amount of pressure from both kind of the nerdy culture in terms of the student body presidents, the association, as well as the collegiate culture with the football team, is able to put pressure on the university president to resign for what I'm still not sure what the exact thing that he did wrong. It seems like he acknowledged that there's some things that they can work on together. And so I'm not sure that his resignation is necessarily going to tamper this down. And I pray it doesn't spill over. Lord knows that we don't need to see Kent State 2.0 for a new era.
Before we let you go, what can you tell us about LCMSU?
Well, LCMSU, for all of your listeners, obviously we have a lot of college students out there at over 200 LCMS chapters growing every day, trying to do what we can to get campus ministries and all the stakeholders in campus ministry, from parents and congregations, to get involved. So check us out at lcmsu.org, and I'd love to connect with everybody.
You'll find a link to LCMSU under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Pastor Marcus Zill is director of LCMS Campus Ministry and LCMSU. Marcus, thanks for your time, and keep up the good work.
Hey, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
When we come back, Dr. Albert Moeller is going to join us. He has coined a term. I don't know if he's coined it, but he used it recently in his latest book, We Cannot Be Silent, The Moral Revolution. We talk a lot about the sexual revolution and its victims and its various outcomes, but it's part of a bigger moral revolution. What is the Christian response to that? Dr. Albert Moeller, president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and host of a daily podcast called The Briefing, will be our guest for the next 45 minutes of Issues Etc. Then we'll teach a Sunday school lesson later in Hour 2 of Issues Etc. on the Ten Commandments with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel.
Not only does our church need men right now, but the world needs men who will proclaim the gospel in its purity.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Peter Scare, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
If when you go to sleep at night you're thinking about it, my experience with it is this, is that thought won't go away. So if you're going to bed at night thinking about following our Lord and becoming a preacher of this gospel, then I would love if you could come and visit Fort Wayne, our campus. We'd love to show you around and show you what it is that we do.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor? Contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Athanasius, Bishop of Alexandria in the 4th century, was known for boldly confessing Jesus Christ as both true God and true man. This is what we do at St. Athanasius Lutheran Church in Vienna, Virginia, just outside Washington, D.C., continuing this historic confession of our Savior, who died for us and now comes to us in word and sacrament. If you live in the D.C. area or just visiting, come join us. For more information, find us on the web, St. Athanasius Lutheran Church.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century?
You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you.